But
yeah.
So
promo.
Right through the war years, then the everything was going well.
Oh yeah.
Why did it start to go downhill then? What happened?
Well, it's not that it went downhill. I think Redmond sort of had enough. He wanted to do something else, and he wanted to be a farmer. And I think they sort of, I suppose his wife had died at that stage, Audrey.
Yeah, I think he probably must have gone through quite an emotional time, and then into a marriage that didn't really work for anybody. You know, and I think he probably just had enough. He just wanted time out, really. You know.
So it wasn't so much that the business was going down.
Oh, no. They sold the business very successfully to some... What are the name of them?
Grace.
Grace Brothers.
Redmond sold his share to Grace Brothers, an American company, conglomerate, basically. They were into everything. Because they had Irish roots, and they kind of fancied the idea of coming back into Ireland somehow.
And who owned the other shares then? Tommy?
Tommy must have owned the other shares. Tommy
or Betty
Hayden.
At that stage.
I'm not sure who...
So Redmond would have reinvested the money that he made in selling the business into his new businesses. Would that be right?
I would say he sold the business, but not to invest in another business. I think at that stage he'd had enough. And he wanted now to follow his graws in life, which were cattle, farming.
But that needed money.
Yeah, but I mean...
Through the South Slob was 2,000 acres. You know, it wasn't a small farm. It was a business. You know, it wasn't a...
And it had to be... It also had to be drained.
Yeah.
Because it was underwater. It's like there's a wall, a sea wall. It's like... what do you call the things
like
in Holland?
Yeah, it's below sea level.
It's below sea level.
So it needs constant maintenance.
Yeah.
And they started a factory making nuts for cattle. Feed for cattle. It was quite a big concern.
Grass drying plant, which he brought from France, and they used to sell an awful lot of the grass nuts, dried nuts, to Belfast, and they had four or five trucks on the road. But he did all these things because he loved. He was a very lucky man, in the fact that he spent his life really doing the things that he loved, and he actually made money at it.
And did you take, Maureen, an active part yourself in this?
Now, oh, good God, no. When I met Redmond, I was a child bride. I was 25. And he was, 62? Something like that.
What was
the attraction?
Yes, if you don't mind me asking.
I think, in retrospect, I don't know if I knew at the time, but Redmond Gallagher was one of the finest... person I ever met. He was a gentleman. He was gentle. He loved educating me. He wrote in his memoir something about being, what was that expression he used, about being attracted to me in a very sort of embarrassed way because he was the age he was. I'm sure he never thought that I would sort of, when he said to me that he was leaving Betty, his wife, and that he was going to France. And he said to me, if you want to come with me, that's fine. If it works out, great. If it doesn't, I'll buy you a sweetie shop in Dublin. And I never got my sweetie shop.
Now, so you had many happy years.
Oh, God.
Yeah. So can you talk to me about the, at that stage, so what year was it when you got married?
I can't remember when we got married. 33 years this month since we ran away, because if we stayed in Ireland, they would have killed us. You know, this was like, what's 33 from 10? Is it the 70s?
Yeah, so was there, do you mind me asking, so was there that kind of eloping thing?
No, it wasn't eloping. It was that Redmond and myself decided that we would never survive as a couple if we stayed in Ireland.
Because of the people.
And the fact that I was so much younger than he was. And of course, everybody said, "Poh, it'll last 6 months. She's only interested in his money." The children, his natural children, were very embarrassed. You know, here was their father, 62, going around with a 25-year-old. And I don't think people could really understand the relationship. I remember Karen always, when we'd come home from France or from Spain, she'd come in from school and she'd say, Grandad and Maureen have been here, and Sally, her mother, would say, how do you know that? I can get the smell of expensive perfume and cigarettes.
And there was a specific brand of cigarettes that you used to smoke.
The Dunhill.
The Dunhill.
Yeah, yeah. So that was... and I didn't want to... It was very embarrassing for them. So, you know, we tried to keep our head low. And that's why we went to France. And we went to France and Redmond wanted to buy another farm. But we ended up in Ariège. And... But that stage, the tax laws had changed in France, so we decided to draw a breath and go to Andorra for a year, which we did. And then we got snowed in, and he said, I'm not living like this. So we got in the car and drove south into Spain. And he said, I want to do it in a day. I don't want to have to stop in a hotel to get to the house the following day. So we ended up in Javier, and we built a house.
My.
And then... We gave up Andorra then a couple of years later.
And did Redmond look at the way things in the 70s in Ireland were going business-wise? Mm. Would another reason have been, can I suggest, that maybe, you know, that we weren't yet in the common market at that stage?
No.
So things weren't wonderful.
No, I think Redmond just had decided he'd had enough. And then he met me and, of course, you know, he wasn't going to stay in Ireland.
Mm.
Because we would never have survived socially.
And how did things go business-wise then?
Well, there was no business. At that stage, he had the farm in Wexford.
And
his son was running that.
Oh, I see, yes.
So, we were living in Spain.
Yeah.
And then in Spain then, sure, that wasn't enough either. He started on, we had, I don't know, a whole big lot of green grass that cost us a fortune to water. And then he decided, no. I think we'll go now and grow oranges. So we're now in a village growing oranges. And Christina Doyle, you know Christina? She came out on holiday one time. And she said, Jesus Christ, Rob McGallagher, is there anything you haven't done? You made chocolate, you built cars, you raised horses, cattle, farms, and now you're growing oranges.
So he must have had loads of energy.
Oh yeah, he did.
All the time to continuously do.
And
all
then
this.
We were lucky, you know, we could afford to have a gardener and.
Was it sad to watch him grow old? Because really, that's what that would have happened in your relationship.
No, I've always said it. I loved him to death.
Mm.
Because he died at home in the house with me on our own. And I loved him to death.
Oh, it's fantastic. Do you know, Karen, you're the... being a granddaughter of the Gallaghers and hearing that story, I mean, but you knew this all the time. I mean, you knew how wonderful Marion Maureen is as a woman. So why the interest? I mean, now you're taking a great interest in finding out and writing more about her niece.
Well, what happened was I'm an illustrator as well as a graphic designer, and I was just looking for a project to illustrate. So I had heard about my great granny Eileen. She was my main interest. Because I'd heard so many stories about her. She was extremely brave. She was innovative. She was, you know, she's just totally inspiring. So I thought if I could just, you know, base my illustration project around Eileen, I'd be quite happy to work on that. But then it just kind of, people kept, you know, coming back to me with stories, and it just kind of ballooned way out of what I had originally started. And I just thought, oh God, it's too much to leave. And Ernie's seemed to mean so much to so many people over the years, especially in Tala. You know, so many people came back to me with lovely memories, and I just thought, I can't just leave it there. So so I'm just working on a book as a graphic designer. That pleases me as well. There's not much illustration involved because it's mostly photographs people want to see, so that's what I was hoping to collect. It won't be an extensive book. It'll be very visual, and it'll be just very light. It just kind of cover the family, and then.
Are you very proud that all of this is happening? That you're obviously happy that such an interesting background, such a big part, you know, it's a little part of history here in this country, but it's part of the jigsaw of the industrial revolution of
the
time.
Indeed, it is. Yeah, yeah. This is the thing. It on so many different levels. It was interesting. Mm. I am proud, but I'm sure if everybody goes back a couple of steps in their family, they're going to find stuff like that. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's not just me. I just happened to dig at it a bit. I mean, my parents, my mother hardly ever spoke about it, really. I had to kind of dig around a good bit and find other relations. And, you know, that people don't realise they have a story until you kind of encourage them.
So. Karen, thank you very much. And Maureen, thank you too very much indeed. Thanks.